All right, we're recording live now. I want to welcome everyone to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. It's been a lot of fun as I've sort of relaunched this. We took a little bit of a hiatus over the summer, but with me today is one of our newest nonprofit members, Lauren Isbell, who is the CEO of Nevis Outreach. And it's really a pleasure to have you on, so thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, of course, you know, and I appreciate you so much. You know, we only got to know each other the other week. I was just chatting to welcome you for joining Charity Charge, which we really appreciate. And really the joy that I have that fills me up is meeting amazing people like yourself that are leading organizations that are passionate about, you know, making the world a better place. And what I think is really special about you and your organization, I know a little bit about from some of the organizations that we work with that focus on very rare diseases. And I want to use this to bring a spotlight specifically to your specific area. And I want you to be able to talk about that within Nevis Outreach. But I also want to shed light or awareness to others about this kind of whole category, if you will, of rare diseases, and that there's a lot of organizations doing it. Work. But so many times these rare diseases are so rare that they don't have the awareness, they don't have the funding, they don't have the support. And I know that the people that that you're serving and the families out there are really appreciative that you're doing what you're doing. So sort of with that, would you mind just telling everybody what Nevis Outreach is all about, but I think also your personal connection to the cause and why you got involved?
Absolutely. So Nevis Outreach, our mission statement is that we're dedicated to bringing awareness, providing support, and finding cures for people affected by congenital melanocytic nevi and related disorders. And most of the time when I say that, people say, do what? What was that big, long medical term? Congenital melanocytic nevi. That is essentially a pigmented birthmark that is present at birth. So it's not detectable on utero at present. So you're baking a baby and all is well and everything is wonderful. And then when the baby is delivered, they're like, oh, this child has a nevus. It's often referred to as a nevus. And so then you go off to Google and hopefully you find our website. And there has been, Nevis Outreach has been in existence. It was established by parents in 1997. And kind of the way that I see this in my mind's eye is there was a dermatologist that connected a couple of parents who he was seeing for with both of their children. And then they just kind of came together and said, you know what, we need to have an organ, like we need to try to put some legs to some support and some things to drive awareness so people will know. And of course, with the birthmarks, my daughter's birthmark is located underneath her eye and goes onto her cheek and her nose. And so you can't look at my Maylee. She's my 3-year-old Nevis owner. And you can't look at her and not see her birthmark. And, you know, obviously with it being a birthmark, sometimes it's more visible than others, you know. Some of them might be able to be hidden by clothes or whatever, but hers is very visible. So living with a visible difference, I feel like the world has came a long way. in being more accepting of that, but we still have work to do. And that's one of the tenets of our organization is just driving awareness and really supporting those people on a lot of different levels, supporting new families who were, you know, shocked by this discovery or supporting young girls who are hitting adolescence, young boys too, you know, and then as they transition to adulthood and what does that look like and what supports do they need? So that's our main mission and kind of how we approach our work.
Thank you for sharing that. What has been your experience just in general, going from, you know, when you first learned about this as a parent, you know, probably in the hospital, to like, what was your discovery process like? And, you know, I'm kind of trying to put it in the framework for, you know, other parents that maybe, you know, are, I hate to say it, surprised maybe is the right word, right? And right. are probably like in there, there's like delivery happens, everybody's excited. And then they're just trying to get more answers. I was just curious, like how you got directly connected to the organization.
Yeah. So when Miley was born, I had actually had quite a traumatic delivery. I had to have an emergency C-section. And I had some severe complications. And so whenever I woke up from general anesthesia, I obviously just wanted to know, is my baby okay? And they had her at the in the NICU at the time. And they said, she's fine, but she has a birthmark. And at that point, I was like, a birthmark? Like, okay, like, so what? I mean, you know, lots of people have a birthmark.
I have a birthmark, sure. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And so then when they brought her in and I noticed the location of the birthmark, it grows proportionate with your body. So as a newborn, it covered a significant portion of her face. And I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, other than that, she did a couple of days in the NICU for kind of not related to her nevus, just other things that were happening. But once we got home, they sent us to a dermatologist, and she was about 4 months old when we got in the dermatologist's office, and she wrote nevus outreach down on a sticky note. So of course I'm in the parking garage of the dermatology office, and I'm on my phone, like Googling it already. And so, and found the website and got connected with what we now refer to as our nevus family. She was born in July. So this was like maybe November, October, November, it was in the fall. And their next patient conference was going to be in July. So we immediately started saying, okay, and it was in Chicago, and we're near Memphis, Tennessee. So it's about a 8-hour drive. So we were like, okay, let's just make plans to go to Chicago and get more information. So that was a transformational experience for us. And we walked in the hotel, and I never will forget. I mean, we'd been there less than an hour, and this little boy walks in and sees another little boy with spots like him. And he just, you know, is in awe, and he's there with his younger brother, who's probably 2.5 or 3, and the little who's unaffected with nevi, of course. So he knows his little brother has spots, and then he sees this other little boy with spots, and he says, "Mama, when am I gonna get my spots?" And I mean, that to me, that was just like just began that transformational experience that happened with us. We were able to visit with nevus owners who are, you know, professionals in their career, who are doing well, who have been married to the love of their life for 45 years, and, you know, are successful adults and doing all the things. And so we found great comfort in that. And I'm thrilled with the idea that Maylee will grow up and never not know a time when she wasn't connected to people like her.
I am so moved by you sharing that story. I mean, sincerely. And I think that whenever we're going through, I find this, like I'm going through challenging times, it's so helpful to know that there's commonalities out there. And I really appreciate, I know there's other things with grants and et cetera that you're doing on around the research aspect and just other kind of proactive things, but the sense of community that you're creating, and especially for these children to have an opportunity to get together and then to be able to learn from other people that are having such successes as adults is just unbelievable. It made me reflect too, you know, I want to share with you, and it's kind of inspiring me to figure out maybe increased ways that myself personally, or, you know, through our work at Charity Charge, we can just do better, shed more light on, you know, all sorts of, I'll just call it rare medical conditions, maybe is a better way. I was born with strabismus, which essentially is like a slang term, is just lazy eye. So when I was one or under one, I had my first eye surgery. And then over time, you usually need to have multiple because as you grow, the muscles relax more or whatever. So then my eye was, you know, and then, so by about, my mom started to notice it when I was like 14 or 15. And she said, you know, we went back in and the surgeon said, well, you know, you can do it again. There could be complications, whatever. But I had put it off. And then in my 20s, I finally did it. I had to get two more surgeries. And it affects about 6% of the US population are born with strabismus, you know, essentially like a lazy eye or offset misaligned. And it's so interesting you say it about the children, because I'm just thinking that even if there's a minor deviation, because a lot of people actually have it, really don't even know they have it. It's like a very minor deviation and there's extreme forms of it, like there could be with any sort of rare disease or rare medical issue. But I spot it right away. Like I could, mm-hmm. you know, I could yeah. see that little off because I lived with it mm-hmm. and went through it, you know? So, you know, I want to get back to Nevis and what you're doing, but I was just, you know, thinking about how this episode's about this whole category, you know, and bringing some awareness and, you know, to this. So I really appreciate you. Let me give you the floor. What were you going to?
I was just going to say, you know, as far as how Nevis affects people or mm-hmm. anything like that, they say, which the numbers are really hard to quantify specifically, but we would say that a large Nevis affects 1 in 250,000 people. And I know in a podcast you can't see pictures, but
we do have the video going. So if you want to hold anything up, hopefully we'll put this up on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I'll share a picture. And I encourage folks to go to nevis.org to see some additional pictures. But this is a little girl who was recently photographed as part of a photo exhibit with people with nevi. And that was actually done in Britain. And we've partnered with the charity there in the UK to make those books available to our constituents in the US. So they actually just came in today. I did my little unboxing video for social media, but
nice.
We're so excited about having a coffee table book that will highlight photos of people affected by the disorder. And that exhibit, if you want to Google it, is by photographer Brock Elbank. He does a lot of wonderful photography, and we were so fortunate to be able to support the UK charity called Caring Matters Now to bring those books to the US. And we're hoping, we had a whole in-person exhibits planned for 2020, three of them, Boston, New York, and our conference in Colorado Springs that was supposed to be in July. And now we're looking into, like, do we do a virtual venue or whatever? But we hope to be able to bring that exhibit kind of to the masses in the U.S. in some way or shape or form, just COVID kind of got in the way. But so really doing what we can to drive awareness. On the research front, we have a lot of research partners who are doing everything from thinking about itching and lack of sweat glands is a common problem with people with nevi, especially when it covers a large percentage of their body. That can be quite problematic. So we have some research going on in those realms and kind of trying to think about that. In some rare cases, which, so you have a rare condition and then you're saying mm-hmm. even rarer than that, is an accompanying condition called neurocutaneous melanoma. And it's when the cells that are present that make up the nevi are also externally are also present on a patient's brain or spinal cord. And if that develops into melanoma, unfortunately right now we don't have any cures for that. So we have some treatments that we've worked on, but it is ultimately fatal at this point. And so that's a really hard thing to even say out loud, even to grapple with. We've, you know, even just this calendar year, we've lost several I don't want to say several, but a handful, too many. One is too many constituents to neurocutaneous melanoma or NCM. We have a fantastic researcher at the University of Pittsburgh that has made it his life's work to work with NCM and NCM patients. And so we really try to champion the work that he is doing there and drive the course forward on an advocacy level, advocating for dollars for rare treatments. But when you have even a form of cancer, which everyone knows cancer, but sure. Even a form of cancer that affects such a small number of people, it's really hard to get research dollars to fund that. But just because it affects only a few people doesn't mean that it's not a worthy cause. And we just really feel like it is our responsibility as the larger Nevis community to push research forward in any way that we can. And so we've really rallied behind the idea of advocacy. We really feel like
I'm looking for something for you on that, because there's an organization I really got to connect you with that. I feel terrible because we work with them, and here it is. Sorry, right here. John Boyle. Yeah. Do you know of the Immune Deficiency Foundation, IDF?
I'm not familiar. No.
I got to connect you with there. So they're actually based in Maryland, but a pretty large organization. This was me with their visiting their CEO and I stopped by. So, but because I just think that, I mean, I hear what you're saying, first of all, on the cancer stuff, totally different side of it. My father actually passed away from ampullary cancer, which is even essentially similar to pancreatic cancer, but actually a little bit rarer. And I know you're talking about it from a whole different side, but
yeah,
I really, you know, in many ways can relate, you know, to what you're sharing. Mm-hmm. And I just think that there's a lot of other ways for organizations like yours to band together with others, you know, versus, because there's a lot of times other causes that, look, if it's affecting way more people, they get way more funding and awareness and all those things. But, right. You know, in your world, you know, one's too many, right? So it's right. How do right. we, I don't, you know.
How do we leverage our collective voice with other organizations? And yeah. That's really something that we've tried to strategize around. And I was able to go to DC in February, right before the world shut down, for Rare Disease Day. The National Organization for Rare Disorders, or NORD, hosts a conference there every year it's the 28th of February. They celebrate it as Rare Disease Day because it's leap day, you know, so it's the rarest day of the year. And we were able to meet with legislators and ask for funding for the National Institutes of Health, specifically for rare disorders. And that's not something that Nevis Outreach has really participated in the last several years. We got NIH funding once before for a scientific meeting, but not on the large scale research side like we would like to see. So we're still trying to advocate for that, and then also connect with philanthropic partners who are really trying to push the needle forward for rare disease. Chan Zuckerberg Foundation, they're one of their core tenets is on rare disease. They took a group of grantees this year for capacity building and those types of things to look for common threads that, and a lot of that ended up being able to be virtual because of COVID. We didn't, mm-hmm. They opened it up to anyone that applied for funding, even those that weren't funded. So we have been able to take advantage of some of those sessions and we work with the Rare Cancer Coalition and a bunch of other groups that try to band together, especially in the rare disease space, try to band together and move the needle forward in terms of advocacy and research. But those are some really big charges that, you know, we're kind of looking at right now as we look at the next, what is the next 3 to 5 to, one of our board members last night said, what is the next, we're 23 years old. So what do the next 23 years look like? And, you know, how do we go from where we are to where we want to be and all those things. But we really think that opportunities like this, even to share our story and to have a platform to share about congenital melanistic nevi and related disorders really does is really a huge blessing for our organization and the rare disease community as a whole.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I feel like on our side, we're just getting started. So my goal and my mission and my vision is just to, you know, amplify the voices, right? And
right.
More and more and more. So I'm really looking forward to developing this personal and professional friendship with you. And I'm really glad that, you know, we got, you know, connected. With that, I sort of, to sort of just round this out and sort of maybe in the future we'll do another episode, you know, with you and all. But I'm just curious in your mind too. I mean, we had chatted when you think about Charity Charge and what we're doing, you also just think about like common threads that organizations might have either as they mature over time or just from like an infrastructure standpoint. What is it that attracted you to Charity Charge and what other just like areas, I'm trying to think what the, yeah, just more like just what attracted you to it and like, how does that fit into, you know, running an organization?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the main draw for us was that we are kind of in a place right now of transition with Nevis Outreach. So as we've grown, we've kind of gone through some different seasons, but with this incoming season, we really felt like the ability to establish the organization's line of credit was really important, like on its own 2 feet, not backed mm-hmm. by a staff member or a board member or whomever, like just for us to be able to, I mean, I think about we were going to host a conference in a state where in order to take advantage of their tax exempt status, they wanted you to have your own organizational line of credit based on your EIN number. And I feel like, you know, organizations, nonprofits can kind of piggyback easily mm-hmm. On the good credit of a founder or a, you know, early staff member or even a board member for a certain period of time. But then there comes a point where you really need to be able to make that jump from kind of borrowing that person's credit for the benefit of the organization to the organization having its own legs to support it. And so I feel like that's kind of where Nevis Outreach was, and Charity Charge was kind of able to bridge the gap for us with that based on just using our financials to establish a line of credit. So we knew that, you know, our financials were in a good enough place where we could support, you know, that line, but the mm-hmm. line of credit, but at the same time, banks and credit cards and those kind of things really aren't structured with that, with a nonprofit in mind. So the fact that Charity Charge is, and the fact that, you know, it's backed by MasterCard and established Commerce Bank, who's been around forever. I was telling the guys the other day when we were talking about coming on and doing this show that it's kind of coming full circle. Commerce Bank was the first person I ever had a car loan through. So I was like, it's kind of weird.
No kidding.
Let's see what it was.
Right on.
But anyway, you know, so our board felt comfortable knowing that it was like a legit, you know, banking partner that we were bringing to the table, and that history really, and their credibility, that gave Charity Charge some credibility with our board, and we felt comfortable moving forward with that. So I really think that it's a much needed service in the nonprofit circle, even if people don't think it is, even if they think, oh, well, we can just use our CFO social or whatever, you know, even more established organizations, that's really probably not long-standing best practice. So I just feel like it's a great tool, and I'm honestly really surprised that other banks aren't doing that. But you guys are onto something here, and it's been interesting to watch it unfold.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, I think that to your comment of other banks aren't doing it, I think that number one, I mean, that's what motivates me, because it's always an opportunity of how do we improve? How do we do better? You think about any, you know, company or nonprofit, you don't want to need to worry about the competition, but if you always keep making your organization better, then you're providing more value to the world and to, you know, clients or customers. And then that's just going to require whoever's chasing you to up their game. So, sure. So my focus is just to improve what we're doing. But I think even more so, for me, I've always seen credit cards and just other banking products. It's a commodity. I mean, at the end of the day, you shop around, it might be like, who's going to get you a better rate on a car loan or a better, bigger line of credit with a credit card, or like, where are you going to put your money from a banking relationship? A lot of it is based on relationships and trust. At the end of the day, you know, it really is a pure commodity. I mean, it's sort of like a widget, you know? So that's where we're trying to just figure out other ways to build, you know, community and do other things with Charity Charge. So, you know, there's more to come with that, but, you know, these conversations and the podcast, having, you know, getting to learn from you really is what fills me up. So I appreciate that and just want to thank you so much for being a part of our community now. And especially for being a part of this, you know, podcast episode. I want to make sure everybody knows that if you're looking to find more information, the website for Nevis Outreach is simply nevis.org. That is spelled nevus.org. And this was an episode with Lauren Isbell, the CEO of Nevis Outreach. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you, Stephen.